Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go on a Monday. Cody and Gold, full crew. Welcome back, Cody Tapp.
I'm here. I made it. Ryan and I almost kind of took a vacation together. We were gone like the identical amount of time.
I had no idea you were gone. We did not almost take a vacation.
I didn't know if Ryan was ever coming back. I feel like Ryan's been gone for a month. I know it wasn't a month. And then for you, it felt like 2 weeks, and it was about a week and a half.
See?
Sorta looks different.
Yeah. We've got our full crew, our full new crew moving forward here on Cody and Gold. Really excited about that. Nick Schwert, he was here last week, but just kind of behind the scenes taking care of some stuff. And so Nick Schwert comes over from Lawrence and is going to be part of our show, a big part of our show, and our new producer on Middays.
Am I clap now?
Yeah. Welcome. Yeah.
Is that the move?
No, I don't
think
so.
Do we clap?
Ryan's over here like, oh, God.
Do we clap now?
You gotta be such a jerk, Cody.
I was just asking if we clap.
This is the first day you work with a new guy, Nick, and you're over here being a jerk already.
Yeah, you leave for a week and a half, and we got a new producer. I hope you're okay with that.
I guess so.
Yeah, so.
A little input would have been nice, but then, you know, other than that, it's good.
My big plan of stabbing you in the back and stealing your job while you're gone comes to a close.
You should have worked faster. You gotta if you're gonna do that, you gotta Wally Pip me. You gotta take the job immediately and then refuse to leave it. But at least for now, new guy Nick, we like it. It's nice to have a full crew. It's been a while since we had everybody we knew was going to be working every day.
Yeah, I mean, we're only a little over a week away from our first show out in St. Joe for Chiefs training camp too. I know we're fired up about that. You've probably been seeing on our Twitter account. We'll be announcing throughout the week our lineup for the Chiefs football season when it comes to guests, and really excited that Nate Taylor going to join us on a weekly basis here on our show on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock. Really fired up to have Nate Taylor from The Athletic joining us. So we'll continue to unveil that as the week goes on.
We have two of the best Chiefs, three, really. Kling's the sideline guy, and then we have Pete Sweeney and Nate Taylor. You're not going to get better than that trio of reporters for the Kansas City Chiefs, which means we've got it again covered. I'm thrilled to have Nate on, as I've known Nate a long time, but in general, he is incredibly well-sourced and obviously a terrific writer over there at The Athletic.
Fired up for Chiefs season. We're going to talk some Chiefs football here in about 8 minutes or so, but we are one step closer, not only to Chiefs camp, but one step closer to Bobby Witt Jr. in the majors. Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado promoted to AAA yesterday. They'll play their first AAA game tomorrow in Omaha. And time-wise, I know before you left for a vacation, J.J. Bacola was on the show, and he it kind of, without saying it directly, it seemed like post-futures game.
Yeah.
We were getting close. We all aren't surprised by this news. But the timing also makes sense because if you're wondering, well, then why weren't they called up to AAA right after the futures game? I think some of it might have just been the schedule, frankly, because the AAA Omaha Storm Chasers were on the road. Now they're back home. So not just from the ticketing part, but just do you want to have them go from AA and knowing they're going to be in AAA for a little bit.
First couple games on the road
and all. This is easy. Today's an off day for the AAA team, so they can go from Arkansas. They can get up there today, get settled in, and then they play their first game. But it means we're one step closer to reality of Bobby Witt Jr. and maybe Nick Prado as well now being big leaguers at some point this year. We start looking at the calendar. It's July 19th. If you base it off of prior history and what the Royals have done, you know, Eric Hosmer, I think, was 28 days in AAA.
Correct.
If you do it off of that, it kind of gives you an idea of when maybe you could start planning for Bobby Witt Jr. in the majors.
Mid-August to early September. But they should have just done it now. The team is what? Not even stuck in neutral. They're going backwards. Like, they were supposed to have taken the leap this year. The last three years, they were 100-loss team. They were no good. Last year, in a 60-game shortened season, they looked like they were pacing like a 100-loss team, got their act together, obviously did better than that in the back half, and now they're right back where they were seemingly in this early part as a team that is ranking right up there in the mid-90s to 100 losses again, and you hope at some point that remedies itself. They could have just moved Bobby Witt Jr., the bigs, and I know they're going to say, that's not how they do it. And you're I'm not saying they were going to do it, but they should have. What's the difference between that and, like you said, 28 to 35 games in AAA? To me, it's nothing. Bobby Wood Jr. is going to be great in the big leagues. He'd be great now. I don't know that 35 games in AAA would change that for me. But I'm not surprised the Royals would take the more cautious approach.
Look, if Bobby Wood Jr., and then I'll add Nick Pratt to the mix, but certainly all the focus has been on Bobby Wood Jr., if he comes up to AAA starting tomorrow in his first 2 weeks in AAA, and he's picking up right where he left off in AA, which was dominating the AA level, then yeah, it's going to be hard for me to convince anybody, and I won't be sitting here trying to tell you that he needs another 2 weeks. I'll be like, no, I don't care if it's August 5th or 7th or whatever. It's time to call him up. But right now, yeah, we know the track record, and also with what you're saying about the big league club, I view it on the other end. I think you're on one or the other side when it comes to the big league's lack of success and how that should dictate the move. I view it as, because of the lack of MLB success right now at the big league level for the Royals, there's no reason to skip that normal process. If this team was 10 games above 500, okay, and we were feeling great that they're going to be a playoff team and all this, like, man, they could use another bat. They could go trade, or why don't you just call a bat from the minors? I would say, yeah, I'm willing to push the action a little bit and call up Bobby Wood at that point in time. To me, there's just no rush at this point because of the lack of MLB success right now. At the same time, I've told you that Coar and Lynch and Bobby Witt, all these guys do need to get called up, because at this point, it's about getting ready for 2022. So I can see both ends of it. I'm more willing to call up Coar and Lynch like tomorrow, like those guys. And then Bobby Witt, give him a couple weeks in AAA, and let's see if he can keep up the success against a little stiffer competition, some guys maybe that have played in the big leagues already. And if he performs well here in the first 2 weeks, then I don't think he needs to wait a month.
The problem with saying, like, hey, going back to like the 76, trust the process. I've been watching the major league team on the field all year. That process isn't exactly working. And maybe the argument being the way they've changed pitching development in the minor leagues and the way they've changed hitting development, more importantly, in the minor leagues, has shown some stronger results there. In, you know, all of the minor leagues, they're one of the best teams in all of baseball, both contact rate and slugging, which means they are hitting as good as any minor league system. So maybe there is, maybe this part of the process, maybe the hitting teaching part is working. But to this point, they've gone slow with players and it hasn't fully matured and worked itself out. They were slow with Witt. He's been a great player. They were slow with Dozier. He's been bad this year. He's been okay, generally speaking. They rushed Mondesi up. But his problems in performance, to me, still weren't based on the fact he was rushed up. They're based on the fact he couldn't stay healthy. And I just feel like Bobby Wood Jr., maybe not Nick Pratto. I wouldn't rush Pratto, just so you know. I'm not the call every single young guy up who exists on the minor league roster up, because Nick Pratto was a bad hitter in A-ball 2 years ago. He had one season in an off-site training with no minor league season at all, and then he was really good this year to the point he got promoted to AAA when he didn't even deserve, technically based on performance, to be in AA to start the year. He has more than proven he was rightful to be in that spot, and he's earned his promotion to AAA. Bobby Wood Jr. just had the goods from the beginning. With great players, that's when I tend to be a lot more fluid about, it's time. But also, you and I are probably in the same boat where, you know, Coar and Lynch, it's like, if you've already called them up to the big leagues and think they're ready, you know, we're going to hold them back because we're waiting on other guys. Just put them in the bullpen. Let them pitch.
The difference with them is you have that option because they've already been up once. And yeah, you can put them in a role that's in the bullpen, not necessarily having to be in the starting rotation. That's why it's
Carlos
different.
Hernandez should be starting for a while. Find out what he is.
Yeah, if he can figure out his pitch count a little bit, which got up there yesterday,
Lynch have those problems too, yeah. So whatever.
No, but
he's just getting out.
Just in terms of, for sure. But Carlos Hernandez yesterday, I mean, I was at the game. You know, he looked really good. If he can get his pitch count down, then you're talking about someone that can all of a sudden be a huge factor potentially in a rotation next season.
Well, it's just a weird, this is the thing with Pratto and Bobby Witt. It's this weird nexus where I don't understand sometimes how you handle one player versus another. Because Carlos Hernandez was a, you know, decently highly thought of prospect through their system, came up relatively young, moved up through the system, throws 100, and you're like, well, that feels like the kind of guy maybe you'd want to, you know, give some extra opportunity to make sure that it's there. But they like to bounce him back and forth. And it's the Edward Olivares situation we talked about before. I just wouldn't be afraid to move those guys through. I'm also a little surprised it took Bobby Wood Jr. this long to get to AAA. And someone said, hey, shouldn't he be dominating AA before you do it? You know, Hosmer or Alex Gordon, right? He was hitting like 400. I know he's not hitting 400 right now, but over the last 6 weeks, Bobby Wood Jr. has completely dominated AA baseball. He's been one of the best players in all of AA baseball, while simultaneously being one of the youngest players in AA baseball with the least amount of experience. It's fairly obvious he had graduated past that level. I think a lot of it is just about slow playing it. And now they're just, they realize that, like you said, they don't need him right away. But also, if you're not going to sit on service time for next year, then, I don't know, it's 35 more games he can get in the bigs for me. That's why I'd be pushing it.
Mid-August is kind of now to keep an eye on. If yeah, it ends up going the month time frame,
early September.
It could be less, but I think we all agree he's going to be up this year. It's just, can he get called up before September now is the biggest question with that. One point, I remember, go back to April in round spring training, before that started up and the season started up, I should say, we were wondering, all right, what kind of days could we look like? Would he be Memorial Day? Remember, at one point that was the conversation. Then it was, all right, June 5th. And then we did our pool of dates. And
we were all in July.
I think I had the latest date, but that was July 25th. Well, that's 6 days from now. That's not happening. So we're all going to be way under
never
on the date.
Never.
Yeah. We're all going to be way under on the date for that.
If we set a new over-under, I'd probably set it like August 28th. And I just make you guess if they're going to do it right after a month, if they're going to do it really into early September. Baseball's a little bit weirder now. The Royals used to. The AAA season would end, and they would call up 15 players. Get them all in a big league clubhouse. Make them feel comfortable, Gold. But now you can't do that in baseball anymore. You remember, right? Now you can only call up two players. So they're going to have to be kind of judicious about who they give that major league time to at that stage. You would think Witt Jr. and Prado would be two of those names, and we both know once the trade deadline goes over and Soler's not on this roster anymore, or anybody else they trade in the pitching staff or Holland, whoever it's going to be, there's going to be multiple names that leave this roster and the 40-man gets updated, and that'll tell us who they're calling up in September.
We'll talk some trade deadline here in about 20 minutes or so because, yes, that is going to dictate what they do with the minor league system a little bit. Maybe it has an impact on Witt and Prado, but certainly just with some of the arms, at the very least, Kowar and Lynch, we would suspect, post-trade deadline, if they move a bullpen arm or two, perhaps. There's also a guy in the starting rotation whose name has gotten brought up as well, and some executives maybe think he could get traded. We'll tell you who that is in just a little bit. I also think, as excited as we are that Bobby Witt and Nick Prado are getting called up to AAA, boy, is it a distraction. Don't let it be a distraction, though, from what the Royals did over the weekend, which was lose a series to the second-worst team in baseball in the Baltimore Orioles, just a pathetic series this past weekend out of Kauffman Stadium. I mean, that just can't happen. And that is something that gets overlooked now with what just occurred. Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado getting called up. I don't know, you know, I'm not saying that's by design, but just, my goodness, that weekend series against the Orioles after Friday night's win, Saturday and Sunday were just two pathetic performances, no offense whatsoever.
And a bad pitching performance by Singer on Saturday, and then the comments around it where Matheny's like, well, I don't want him to throw the changeup because he's getting hit on that. I'm like, well, he's getting hit with the other pitches too. Like, I don't know if you noticed. I wouldn't exactly say that. And Singer was very accountable, as he is. But it's, I don't know. We can have a deeper conversation about this certainly later. The frustration is, do you have an answer for a single problem on this team? Like, that's my actual concern. Have you fixed any problem? And I think if you sat at the record and look where they are right now, the answer to that is clearly no.
Coming up at 11, we'll talk to Whit Merrifield, the Whit Merrifield Show. He joined us each and every Monday at 11 o'clock. We'll talk to him about his experience at the All-Star game, that black eye that he got from the L screen during batting practice. Yet he had four hits with the black eye on Friday night. We'll get his perspective because his name, thinking of trade stuff, I mean, his name every year comes up. How does he react to hearing his name mentioned in trade conversations, at least rumors that are out there? So Whit will join us coming up at 11 o'clock here on Cody and Gold. But Chiefs camp is right around the corner. Rookies report this on Friday. Our first weekend shows for the station. Bink and Dusty are going to be on Saturday up in St. Joe. Next Wednesday, we'll start 16 shows up in St. Joe. So we're really excited about that. And thinking of our friend Nate Taylor, who's going to join us, he had a piece in The Athletic, and The Athletic had a piece about what can the Chiefs expect from some guys that are, it's contract year for a lot of guys out there. You think this is actually potentially a great sign for the Chiefs?
I like this approach. So every year, every team probably sits in an executive office like Brett Veach. He's like, hey, which way are we going to try to tackle this offseason? Which way are we going to try to tackle this team? This year's team is clearly the year of the let's put a bunch of guys all on a contract year together and find out who can perform to that maximum level. The late, great Therese Paylor used to say the contract year is undefeated. I think specifically in an NFL circle and for the Chiefs going forward, this is 1,000% the right way to handle the team. We've talked about how low-cost veteran options are always going to be attracted to Kansas City now. guys looking to get their next paycheck, it's always going to be an attractive place to come to Kansas City for that reason. And then you're always going to have guys that are going to be on the brink of being cut by Kansas City because they pay their stars. So if you are a, I would say, middling player, then you're going to do that. These are all the players they have available to them on contract years here. And the way I like it so much, Tyrann Mathieu, as we well know, is currently under a contract year. Maybe that'll change. That could still change.
I think so.
But let's at least mention it for now. But then it's the entire defensive line. It's Taco Charlton. It's Jaron Reed. It's Derek Nnadi. Because all these guys' contracts are getting ready to come up. They've got multiple offensive linemen, Charvarius Ward. They've got an entire grouping of players right now. He ranks it near 20. It's probably not because Chad Henne's on here, and I'm not worried about Chad Henne's contract year, for being honest. But I actually think this is the right approach because you're going to have to keep players motivated inside of your system to get paid even if it's not by you. But the reason why this works better for the Chiefs is they'll pay you if you actually perform in it. They've proven time and time again, if you prove under the contract year, they'll pay you, right? That, to me, is the bigger incentive here.
Well, there's no doubt that the locker room, based on what they did last offseason, when you take care of homegrown guy like Chris Jones, for example, and you've taken care of Travis Kelce again. Now, of course, you're going to take care of Patrick Mahomes. What appears to be maybe an opportunity to take care of Tyrann Mathieu here in the next week or so with training camp and all of that. Yeah, I mean, that always goes over well in the locker room. I remember when the Chris Jones deal happened, that was a talking point that everybody was discussing, right? Because that sends a great message that, hey, if you go out and perform, we're going to find ways to take care of you. And that's just an incredible asset to have in your back pocket as a GM, as an organization, for that club.
Like Jaron Reed, right?
Yeah, and of course, it's always just the incentive for the player in general, whether it's in Kansas City or not. Like, I'm not all that convinced that Jaron Reed will be a long-term play here in Kansas City, no matter what his performance is. I just think he might be a little too expensive. He has the type of year that I think he can have and excel as someone in the middle of the defensive line. I don't know if they would be able to actually give him a long-term deal, but there's still plenty of incentive for Jaron Reed to go out and have a big-time season because of what the open market could be for someone like that. You know, there's other guys that are also not necessarily on contract years,
Hitchens,
but essentially are.
Clark.
Anthony Hitchens, yeah. Essentially, it's kind of like a contract year because it's no secret the Chiefs went out and drafted Nick Bolton. They drafted a linebacker the year before. I mean, they've got some potential replacements, and actually, hopefully, the replacements there in the last 2 years of the draft. And so, in a way, for Hitchens, it's a motivating year. I know this offseason, he went out and he had even spoke at minicamp. He kind of approached this offseason differently. He's lost a little bit of weight. He said he'll kind of bulk up once he gets closer to camp. He's hoping that maybe will allow him, you would think, to be a little more athletic because he can see that some of these other linebackers they've drafted certainly have that on him. He's got the knowledge and the experience and everything that they love about him, but the athleticism's not there as much as some of these other guys. So I think there's the group of 20, yes, that are flat out actually final year of contract, and then there's like two or three guys that are essentially playing for the ability to stay on current contract.
I think this should probably be the permanent structure. Every team is going to have some guys on contract years, but it does seem like a particularly high number this year, especially when you bring in Hitchens and Frank Clark into the conversation, which are two guys, obviously, who are essentially, as you well know, on contract years. Frank Clark is playing to stay in Kansas City this year. If he underperforms again, they will get out of his contract.
Like, it's going to be very difficult for him to hit any of the numbers that people are going to want to see if he's suspended, and we don't know how that's all going to play out.
No, that's a whole nother. I heard Amy Dash last week on The Drive, and you're just like, there's an argument to be made. Nothing at all is going
to
happen, seemingly, from some standpoint. And then there's, but that feels like a long shot of long shots. So it's how severe, really, how severe is the criminal punishment? Because I still think the league punishment is going to be more limited in scope than that. Because the league only goes so far with these things. The league's not going to come down and be like, we're giving you a year for it.
No, not a year, but I don't think 4 to 6 games is out of the question
at all.
No,
that's not. But that's a number to me that's survivable, even though it comes at a particularly bad part of this for the Chiefs this year. But that's, again, another motivating factor. I think building your team in a way where you don't, normally I'm pro, like, give a contract early guy. Going forward, not so fast. I kind of want you to force your way onto this roster. Because you can make an argument for paying lots of guys. Charvarius Ward, right? They're thin at that position. Eh, he wouldn't cost that much to sign. What if we just got a couple more years on there? No. Prove to me that we should give you the check. If I got to overpay every once in a while, even though I'm the Chiefs, I'll overpay every once in a while, and I'll keep everybody else hungry below for the big check. I don't think that that's the worst methodology for them. I feel confident that this is the best strategy. versus, you know, I don't know. I guess at this point, just giving everybody small contracts or drafting nothing but rookies, which they're going to do too. But they've got, considering they'll have some rookies play for them this year, and we know that, or second-year players, they got a lot of guys fighting for a roster spot or fighting to stay in Kansas City in the long term.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to the trade deadline in baseball, July 31st, but a couple names coming up, including one pitcher for the Royals organization that some executives actually think might get moved by the Royals. But you are back from vacation. It's good to have you back, man. I must say, I hate to bring this up, but I was at, with Bink, a charity softball deal on Saturday, and someone came up and they said, "Have you heard from Cody about the cat?" And I said, the fact I had not heard about the cat, I said, I haven't asked him, and I assume that's not good news. So there's people on the text line wondering as well, the cat's been missing for a week and a half. Is it still missing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Took some extra steps to try to find the cat. So, you know, like they said, put the litter box outside, put the food and water outside. We've done that. I have now, you know, flyers will get made. Like, we're officially at flyer stage now, right? I mean, it's been a week
and a
half.
You've called all the shelters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't have any luck there. Drove around, walked around, did all that stuff. Somebody thought they saw my cat. Not the cat. Took a picture of it. Wasn't the right cat.
Oh no!
So it's yeah, the cat. Okay. And look, I'm gonna have to live with this forever. I was clearly the person who let the cat outside, and so and I was wrong. I thought the kids wouldn't notice. They have. So yeah, like, every time we walk outside now, every time I walk to the car since we've been home, my daughter says, "Boy, I hope Margo comes back soon." And you're like, stop hurting my feelings.
No.
Are you above getting a replacement cat? And do you think your kids would notice?
Well, because we've brought up the meet the parents thing. And it's like, do you think that?
This is going to be an impossible cat to replace. Cross-eyed, extra toes, sneezed a bunch. There's just no way to replace this cat. It's impossible. It's a unicorn cat. We can't find a replacement. And I don't. And imagine if the cat comes back. Then I have two cats. I can't live this life. The cat could still come back. I'm still holding out some hope that the cat will come back.
Well, if you have two cats, you get rid of the other cat.
You get rid of the what? I don't know that they have a return policy.
You find another family. We've got listeners that would gladly take a cat that was once in the household of Cody Tapp. You know, that cat's got more
garage sale. Yeah. You can have my extra cat. Next year.
Yeah, we might have to wait a couple months, but you know,
no, the cat's not.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I figured I didn't ask you on purpose.
No,
I didn't text you because I figured if good news you would have told me, but I just wanted to
I'd tell you if the cat
clear that up. Otherwise, vacation good. You had tickets for the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby.
About that, So about that, you might have noticed, even though you knew I had tickets to the Home Run Derby on Monday night, that I didn't post from the Home Run Derby Monday night.
I was stunned. I told Nick, I was like, this is not like Cody. I'm like, Cody would have tweeted out a photo that he was at the All-Star Game and Derby. Something's up. What? I didn't know. And you didn't have signal because I knew you were at the cabin. So I'm like, I'm not going to even try to text.
Yeah, I didn't. At the cabin, I've got no signal. So like there, pretty much no way to get a hold of me anyway. Didn't make it to the Home Run Derby, and here's why. On our way out to the cabin, we, I don't know, Stratton, Colorado, maybe, I think is maybe where I got some gas. It's the middle of nowhere. Stratton, Colorado. Or is that Kansas? That's Colorado. I was leaving an exit after we'd gotten gas, and the car started to shake violently.
Oh.
And the check engine light came on, and several other, like, the traction system light came on. And I'm like, well, this is no good. My car is broken. No smoke coming out of the engine, just shaking. So we immediately get off of the highway, find a shop, and ask them to look at it. They do not have time to look at it. I explain kind of the problem. They're like, it sounds like you're okay. Just go to the next exit. So I'm like, okay. Really what happens is anytime the car gets above 3,500 RPM or so, the car starts to shake. So you just have to go slow or accelerate very slowly. By the way, accelerating slowly when you're driving to the mountains, not easy, because that's up from where you are, so you have to accelerate to go faster. So we are calling shops all the way down the road. We eventually get one in Lyman who can look at it that day while I'm going like 55 miles per hour on I-70, which is not a safe speed.
And you've got kids in the car.
Kids in the car, wife in the car. This is day one of leaving for vacation. Just so you know, I'm actually relatively mindful of when we go to vacation. I usually get a car looked at before I go. Check the oil, get it looked at. Tires are good, great. Like, I make sure our car's good before I take a long road trip. Apparently not. So we get all the way to Lyman, and the guy says, hey, it is a solenoid, we think. That's the thing coming up. But it's also low in oil, and we don't know. Got the oil changed before. Don't know why that would be a problem. Like, it's a solenoid. This is the part that went bad. We don't have it. We're a small town. We called over to the auto shop. They don't have it either. So just drive it to a big town. You can do this. And because you're short on time, it's like, you know, this is a, you know, heading in towards a weekend. He's like, I think you could fix it. This is what the mechanic at the shop told me. You have you, he said, have you ever done any car repair? And the answer to this is, well, some. I said, you know, when I was younger and I had like an old beat up car and I was like 18 or 19, I might, you know, repair a radiator or change a radiator to do my brakes. Like I can, I'm relatively handy, but no, I've never replaced a solenoid in a car. He says, just go to a big town, get the part and fix it.
Okay.
So
he's expecting you to go replace this coil in your engine.
On day one of vacation too, by the way, because the solenoid like regulates a piston. So you're like, well, this doesn't feel good. So I'm like, are you sure I should do this? He's like, yeah, no, you'll be fine. He's like, you just need this socket set. It's like two bolts.
This all sounds terrible.
You're like, oh. So what we do is like, okay, we got to get to our destination. We got two kids in the car. I'm not getting a hotel 1 hour from here just to hope to get the part. We're just, can I drive it where I'm going? We're like 100 miles away. He's like, yes, you're good. Just take it slow. No problem. You'll be. And sometimes it was slower than I wanted it to be. But we got there. We got to Frisco, and I just want to make it be clear. I fixed the car.
Whoa!
I bought the parts. I changed it in the
it
car.
Worked.
And then the car drove well.
You know what?
Come on.
I have to give you a lot of
fixed
credit
the car.
Here.
The guy was right. It took me a little longer than maybe it would have probably taken them to fix it.
I'm impressed. I'm
but
very
I
impressed.
I fixed the car. It drove normal after that. But unfortunately, because I still didn't want to drive it all the way home from Colorado without getting that check engine light, made sure it was good. I had to take it to a shop on Monday, which took way too long to get it fixed and all this, and we were too late for the home run derby.
So no derby,
yeah.
No all-star game.
It's a mess.
But you fixed the car.
But I fixed the car. I fixed the car. That's what's really important.
I'm impressed. There, I would have been screwed.
Would you just tell this guy, like, look, man, I'm not going to fix this car. So just
would have been stuck. In that one town, there might be like 2 or 3 days. I don't know what
he
I would have done.
It's going to be a couple of days.
I mean,
to get this one part that he said would be available in most major cities. You're like, isn't it at that point, couldn't I just rent a car, go buy it, and bring it back to you?
That's probably what you would have had to do. If you legitimately were stranded and you couldn't, what you had to wait
look,
2 days.
I'm not spending multiple days in Lyman. I don't know if you've been to Lyman.
Lyman, Colorado.
I'm not spending multiple. No offense if you're from Lyman. I'm not spending multiple days in Lyman.
You know how they talk about dad strength? Does this apply?
I think so. Like, you wouldn't have done this, Cole. There's no way you would have changed the bar.
Zero chance. Zero chance. I can change, like, a headlight, and that's about it. And I can add some wiper fluid, all right? That's about all I can do.
To be honest, not as hard as I thought it would be. Took me a little longer than I wanted it to because the bolt placement on this thing made it impossible to like get it off easily, so I had to like take it off the whole bracket just to disconnect
this
it.
Had to have
so
over
I actually
some...
went a step further than the guy had instructed me to do to fix it, but this was a success.
This
a
had
rousing
to have,
vacation success.
This had to have really impressed your wife. Like this had to have been like a very proud moment for you, and
big...
your wife had to have been very proud.
Saved us hundreds of dollars because I'm doing car repair by myself.
I mean, you did save the day.
This is the man I married.
To make it even better, so when we took it into the shop, it was a wiring issue that caused the thing to fix. So they fixed the wiring issue. I wouldn't have been able to
fix it. I'm
not
going to
lie.
When you first started the story, I was worried like somehow the cat was involved with the engine or something. I was worried there was something like that going on.
To be sure that the car won't fall apart, they fixed the wiring issue that caused the original solenoid to fail. The mechanic at the shop said, oh, nice job on the solenoid. He said it just like
really?
That.
Really?
He didn't give me like a huge
Whoa.
Thing, but he said, nice job on the solenoid. Looks good. I was like,
oh,
success. I'm never going to try to fix my car vacation
impressive.
Ever again. Although I do own that socket set that I had to buy on top of the part forever.
Someone says, Cole, when's the last time you changed your headlight fluid? Ha, 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 ha. Headlights and wiper fluid. That's all I can do. That's it.
That's it? Those are the only two things you can fix on a
yeah.
car?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
My car is ridiculous where in order to change the turn signal, you have to take the tire off. Yeah, I'm not doing that. It's insane. I have to take it to a dealership to change a turn signal because you have to take the tire off and go under this panel.
That's why I had to take the solenoid off. Like, from the top, if you reach it from the bottom, it would hit the pan, so it wasn't long enough. Like, I didn't have a short enough socket wrench because I bought it there. I didn't travel with one. And from the top, the bolt had a tiny piece of bit metal that didn't allow it to sit on there properly. So I had to take the four bracket bolts off, take it off, re-grease it, put it back in, and the car drove.
I'm very impressed. This is one of those times where brag away and let us all know you have to on this. This is awfully impressive. Glad you guys made it back safely, though. Bummed out that you didn't get a go to the All-Star game because of that. I knew something was up, and you said...
I did enjoy watching Salvador Perez hit 28 home runs, and I'd like to talk about that if we've got time later in the show. I know you guys did all these topics, but there's several things I have an opinion on, and I'd like to get to
them. We'll give you a little bit of time, maybe, at some point, because there is quite a few things that did happen while you were gone. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, we're just getting started on a Monday. We'll look back a little bit, and was it the right call for the Chiefs to approach it this way?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to the trash of the day in about 15 minutes. Also, at 11 o'clock, it's the Whit Merrifield Show. We'll talk to Whit post-All-Star break, how Denver was for him.
Think Whit can fix his car?
I'm definitely got to ask him now. Like, do you think you would have been able to do the exact same thing? Is it one thing that maybe Cody was able to do that Whit Merrifield could not do?
It's like when I tweeted out about I'm probably not better at anything in this entire world than Patrick Mahomes. I think I probably am a better baker than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Mahomes, maybe he couldn't fix his solo.
I feel like Mahomes, if he dedicated himself for a month, he'd be way better baker than
you. He can study an NFL playbook. If I just said, hey, this is the part you got to replace, he could have fixed it.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Whit Merrifield coming up at 11 o'clock. Because his name continues to come up in trade conversations, as it frankly has the last, three seasons?
Correct.
When it comes to Whit Merrifield. But if you look at the Chiefs, and I think all of us recognized last year, run it back, and they were able to get to the Super Bowl, of course, coming up short to the Tampa Bay Bucks. But if we were to play a little revisionist history here a little bit, was that the right route to go run it back? We just got done talking about there's 20 players this go-around this year that are on their contract year, and that's going to be seemingly the new norm. It's very
rare.
There's
also 15 or 20 guys who weren't on the roster last
year. This was a more normal offseason this year. Yes. Coming off the Super Bowl loss in this case. But if we were to go back, was it still the right move to run it back? And I think the answer is still yes. Yeah, they came up short in the Super Bowl, and the ultimate goal wasn't just to make it to the Super Bowl. It is every year to win a Super Bowl now in Kansas City, as long as Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are linked together. But I think it absolutely was still the goal. Even if you want to go back and say some of the injuries that got them at the end at the offensive line with some of the moves, you take a look, Cody, at what they were able to accomplish. It still was a 14-2 season, and they got to the Super Bowl. So for me to sit here and try to tell you that, run it back was the wrong approach, and what would you have done differently that would have guaranteed a Super Bowl win in that case over the Bucs that wouldn't have also had some impact on some of the other areas that allowed you to have a 14-2 season?
And gave you the bye, which gave you a better chance to go to the Super Bowl. I'm stuck between two worlds because I do think it's hard to argue that it wasn't the right call if you went to the Super Bowl and you were that close and all that. But I think if I could go back in time, I'd probably change some things. I'd let some different people go. I would have taken a different approach to certain parts. And I don't think there's anything you could have done about Mitchell Schwartz. He was an elite level player. He clearly got hurt right before the season started. And there was no way to say, we're just going to walk on him. But I still would have walked on Sammy Watkins. I wouldn't have signed that damn deal. And I'm not sure that if I wouldn't have tried something different in either the development camp of Mecole Hardman instead of DeMarcus Robinson or whatever, because I probably weren't there. I would have taken a slightly different approach to maybe a few players, but the plan as a whole last year was the right one. I've told you that I think the plan now of contract year stuff, that's more sustainable. I just think it's hard because they took kind of a baseball approach to a football sport. The reason why people don't run it back, and this is why I never blame the Royals in 16 for bringing it back. They've been to back-to-back World Series, and they knew it was all going to come to a halt at some point. They knew. They knew they weren't going to pay Hosmer and Moose and Kane all at the same time. But with the NFL, they had Patrick Mahomes. They knew that they were going to be back at this thing. Like, they had a chance to go year in and year out every single year. So they didn't have to take a let's just get back and win it now approach. So I might have taken some longer-term objectives with a few guys and risked maybe a little regular season success, knowing what I know now. But that's really hard because that's revisionist. Because if you ask at that time, how could that not have been the play? You made it to the Super Bowl.
if they were to go back and say, all right, this is what we would have done, I think some people would have certainly said, all right, well, they would have had more options on the O-line. But I think that's a little unfair if you're going to say that about last year, because let's not forget, for much of the season, they were able to make it work with flexibility on the offensive line. Clearly, that's where they attacked this offseason. But to have said before last year, before last season began, that, oh, they should have already had a replacement figured out for Mitchell Schwartz and stuff, that's just completely revisionist.
No, that's crazy.
And that's just not realistic if we're playing the game. Like, Osimile was someone they felt really good about at the left guard spot, and then for three games. And then, unfortunately, he got hurt. I mean, that's stuff that...
And Fisher was, like, the only thing holding together an absolutely atrocious line. But I'd have probably made a move sooner and not just said, hey, let's just run back this entire offensive line with everybody here. I've been like, nah, you know what? Maybe we should start changing things up now and making an adjustment, or looking for different pass rushers now and maybe making an adjustment. But again, I think it's fair to say you're being a revisionist, because if it's only if I know what I know now would I have made those changes, Gold. How could it have been the wrong plan if at that time it worked so successfully?
Yeah, they made it to a Super Bowl.
Even if it came a little short.
They made it to a Super Bowl, and they were the number one seed, and people for a while were talking about that team just running through and going through the motions for much of the season. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a little crazy overall when people are going to look back, if they do look back and say, oh, the run it back wasn't the right move. Now, that's the same conversation that's going to happen in Tampa Bay this year, because we know Tampa Bay essentially is taking that exact same model and saying, no, we're going to bring back as many of our starters as possible. And that's essentially what they've done. They put a franchise tag on Chris Godwin to be able to retain him. We know they've even brought Antonio Brown back, and on the defensive side as well. So that's what they're going for. Now, will it relate to, or correlate, I should say, to another Super Bowl berth for the Bucs? We'll see. They're certainly a favorite to come out of the NFC, but a lot of things are going to have to still go right for them. It's a different conversation, I feel like, around the Bucs and the Chiefs. Are we going to be sitting here a week or two in the season and hear a bunch of national people questioning whether the Bucs are interested enough and all that? Is that going to happen?
Well, they could have learned the lesson, right? If they didn't think running back fully worked, they could have not gone that method. Probably a pretty good sign, by the way, that it wasn't the worst strategy ever. If the team that just won the Super Bowl decided to do the identical plan, they just went with the identical plan, right? The Bucs, they're bringing back more starters from the previous year, especially when you include like the LDT opt-out and the Damian Williams opt-out. Like, they're going to bring back more starters this year than the Chiefs did even in their run it back year, whatever, going for two, whatever they're calling it. For me, it makes sense for the Bucs. It's short term. It's myopic. Their whole life is living in the short term. The Chiefs are now taking a longer term approach to football. I think that's a better methodology moving forward. For the 1 year, I never had a problem with it. It made sense to me to try it, especially in a weird COVID year and all the things that we need to factor into what kind of made them think that decision might be right. We don't want to learn together. We don't, you know, we just want to know what we're doing. 14-2 and going to a Super Bowl is awfully hard to argue with. I think I just make a couple of changes if I were allowed to go back in time and know what I know. But then
the Sammy Watkins,
what is the butterfly
though,
effect? You even miss the Super Bowl by doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the Sammy Watkins thing, we know about availability, lack of availability for Sammy Watkins.
Just
the problem is, like, I who would have been the number, you know, would you have thought they were going to go out and get another free agent option then? Because we know what the wide receiver market was a year ago. And if you're going to say, well, Mecole Hardman would have had a bigger step into development. Are we sure about that? Because we're still sitting here now heading into year three, and we have the exact same questions.
They could have saved about $7 million by cutting him. I probably would have looked for a $7 million wide receiver option that I thought could have done something different. Yeah. Yeah, I probably would have explored
who that would have been, though. You know what I mean? It's the same deal. It's like everybody can always say, get rid of anybody. The question always is, give me replacement. When anybody calls for a head coach to be fired or someone to move on from a player at a certain position, it's like it's easy to do that. But always it's, all right, well, then who is the replacement? Give me an actual replacement. That's always the challenge. Like, I don't know at the time, even though we thought even go back a year ago that Sammy Watkins would not be back with the team, I still don't know how many names would have been actually viable replacements for him other than just moving everybody up a spot on the depth chart.
We saw in the free agent class this year that
look at it.
DeMarcus Robinson, for a good chunk of it, wasn't it? Like, after the first three or four names went off, DeMarcus Robinson was consistently listed as like the eighth best available free agent wide receiver. Because then you got to start saying, oh, would you have explored a trade? And for what player? And at what price? And I know that that's... I understand that that's easier said than done, but I would have looked for a wide receiver, probably of a lower quality than Sammy Watkins, because that's what they're going into this year, seemingly, and I would have looked to increase the roles for the long term for those other players that we're talking about. And I don't know that that would have worked, but I would love to see what that experiment looked like. I'll get a taste of that this year to know if that was the plan you should have done sooner, But it's hard because at that moment, I do think that they didn't go with the wrong decision.
Coming up in about 6 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. We're also getting closer and closer to the trade deadline for Major League Baseball. And at least one national reporter has spoken with some executives that believe Danny Duffy is likely to be traded in the next few weeks. That's from Joel Sherman, excuse me, not John Heyman, as I said, Joel Sherman from the New York Post. He believes that executives view Danny Duffy, the lefty, as long as he's healthy, could be moved. He also mentioned that if Duffy's traded, he said he prefers to return home to his native California. So that would be about the Dodgers and the Padres and the Giants and the Athletics. So that's just one report, and this is what happens around this time of the year. There's going to be multiple names that come up as we get closer and closer, and certainly West Coast teams would make sense in the Danny Duffy situation. He has the right to veto it. He's earned that now, and I said,
I don't know if they'd hold the team hostage, though.
I don't think the 10-5 rights or whatever it's called now would actually change much, because I feel like he would have before also had a heavy say in that based off of his track record in Kansas City and with the Royals organization, his ties to the community and all of that. So yes, he actually on paper can veto it now. Before, they didn't have to listen to him. I always viewed they wouldn't trade him without his blessing anyway. Sure. This just means they literally have to get his approval in order to do a trade. Look, he's a free agent at the end of the season. You could also still bring him back next year. I mean,
correct.
Best case scenario, honestly,
it's a few months vacation for Duffy.
But trade him, get something back. It's not going to be a huge haul by any means. Get a prospect back, maybe get someone that can be potentially a piece next year for you, just for a temporary piece next year as well that you can fill a void. I don't know. Maybe an outfielder exists out there that can play center field next year. I don't know, right? And then you could bring him back next year until he still could be buried a Royal,
or
and all that can still 16 happen.
16-year-old that they have that you like the future and, outlook on 6 years from
and,
now.
And for another team, you're talking about $7 million that would be left for this year. So that's the $7 million.
And the Royals should pay that, honestly, to get a better prospect. This is how baseball works. They just saved, I think they're up to $2.2 million in underfunded pricing for the draft. Okay, well, you're going to have to pay Danny Duffy if you trade him. Like, that's a fairly simple math on this. He should be traded. I'm not rooting for Danny Duffy to leave. I like the Barry Memorial stuff. It's the same as Witt or multiple other players, but they actually have to look at themselves in the mirror now and reevaluate timeline. You said you were going to be good this year. You're not. Okay, so are you going to be good next year because you thought you would, or is that also not happening? And if that's the case, then Danny Duffy is a player on a roster who doesn't have a future contract with you. That's the case. Why wouldn't you take calls on that?
Yeah, anybody that's not under contract next year, automatically you have to have heavy, heavy consideration in moving them, especially in the case of Duffy, where I don't think he'd be burned by the fact that if you did trade him, because again, he would approve the trade, and that it wouldn't hurt your chances directly of bringing him back next year. I know some people have said,
which now seems like something you might have to do based on the young pitching trust.
Lack of development so far for some of the, if it'd be one thing if Kowar and Lynch had come up and looked good, and you're like, oh, okay, you feel great there. Now you're probably going to need someone like Danny Duffy in your rotation again next year. We thought we had kind of moved on from that. So that's interesting to follow with Danny Duffy. And as far as the other names, I mean, if you're going through and they're going to keep coming up, Carlos Santana is a really intriguing name because, yes, he is under contract next year for this organization. But he's, based on the timeline that you just brought up, yeah, he's under contract next year. But is Carlos Santana going to be here when this team realistically is back competitive? He's not under contract for 2023.
No.
I know a whole lot of guys are, but still, he's certainly not one of them, and he would be valuable for any team at the trade deadline.
I've been very reticent on Santana because I just feel like I've spent an entire lifetime being a Royals fan, wanting a hitter like that. Like, just one guy who got on base intentionally. Not like took some walks sometimes, was really good at getting on base and did it at a high level. And I know some of his numbers are not, oh, wow, look at this, incredible. But I don't know. It would have been nice if...
It's just, where do you view him next year?
That's the problem.
Carlos Santana, your designated hitter next year?
Less favorably than I did coming into this year.
Yeah, I mean...
Less favorable than I did 2 months ago when I thought this team was better than it was.
Santana's your DH next year, and then, what, Dozier or Prado potentially are your first baseman? Otherwise... You can always find someone to play designated hitter. So if you're going to tell me, well, you got to keep Carlos Santana just so he can be your DH next year, that's not the reason to keep Carlos Santana. I'm not saying it's one of those where it's a sure thing he gets traded. Like I would say, Michael A. Taylor, I would be stunned if he doesn't get traded. Right, Michael A. Taylor, some team that needs a fourth outfielder for some guy like that's got experience, has won a World Series. Some team I would imagine would be interested. Not going to get much back, but. Michael A. Taylor doesn't have a long-term future here in Kansas City. Michael A. Taylor, I think, would be high on the list of a guy that I would be almost surprised if he doesn't get moved before the deadline.
And then once they don't have a home for Solaire because he's not going to get traded,
post deadline. I mean, Solaire's pinch hitting now, and then he came up to pinch hit yesterday and struck out. I mean, he has got no purpose. No purpose, Jorge Solaire, whatsoever on this team.
Zero future. And if that's the conversation. If your timeline's wrong and you can admit that to yourself, which I don't think the Royals can, then you should even be kicking around names like one of the controllable bullpen arms. Zimmer, Barlow, Prince.
Out of the bunch there, the one that I wouldn't be willing to do that, not just because of control, but...
Barlow's too dominant.
Brent's is my answer as well, though, because Brent's is a lefty that throws 100 miles an hour. Now, that means he's worth more. I get it.
But he's also just available, you know?
Yeah, but I think they really, really like him. Zimmer would be a guy that I actually be willing to move on just because while it's great to see him healthy and pitching at a high level, we do know what the track record has been. So right now, he's as valuable as he's ever been prior to when he was first drafted. As far as a commodity, an asset in your organization, Zimmer would be someone that I'd be willing to move on from as far as in a trade. I think he'd be valuable to another team, and you just don't know when unfortunately, the injury bug might hit him again.
And if you, honestly, but those are the kind of conversations, if you think you're going to be good next year, you might have the makings of a really good bullpen. One or two more arms, I mean, you might be a dominant bullpen. You might be on the cusp of something in that area. But it's about having an honest conversation with yourself, and that's when you have to, you know, really think about it.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the day is brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. So the Olympics are getting ready to start here in Tokyo. A lot of controversy around there as
they
continue to have
going great.
No fans, plenty of issues with COVID there in Tokyo. And we know typically around the Olympics, there's always the stories that come out of, like, you know, the condoms being dispersed and the jokes that come with that and the athletes from all these countries hooking up and everything like that. So this year, because of COVID, they're trying to deter that. And so one of the deterrents apparently was cardboard beds. Cardboard beds. There's some company that they paid to outfit cardboard beds. So, and they said, you're basically, it's one person on the bed. Like, it's going to break. You can't be having sex on the bed. So
I'm just,
I guess the thought is interesting. Do you really think that these athletes are going to avoid having sex because of a cardboard bed? There's other options out there. These are physically gifted athletes.
There's just no way they could ever figure out standing up to have sex.
Or anything else.
Or laying on the floor, or being in a shower, or pushing two of these beds together. Like, it does feel like there's some methodology here that eventually works.
Literally, you have the most physically gifted people on Earth, all in one place. They're going to figure it out. Frankly, the athleticism, the flexibility that some people have, literally, there's a lot of options here that the normal folks don't have. They'll make it all right, which is funny because there's a couple athletes that have had some videos and tweets that they put out, like, making fun of it. Like, there was a gymnast from Ireland, I believe, actually, if I'm not mistaken, and he was jumping on the cardboard bed. Like, see, I can jump on this bed. We're going to be just fine. And then there were some long-distance runners that were making fun of it because typically long-distance runners are very skinny individuals. And so they're like, we could have, like, four of us still on here and not break the bed. So they're having a good time with it. This is, of course, we're still going to have sex. I'm not going to prevent it.
If you're worried about this, you should have just canceled it. And there's some scary stuff, like a really sad story, a local gymnast who was an alternate for the U.S. women's gymnastics team, just tested positive. We know Coco Gauff, obviously, is going to be out of the Olympics because of this. So there are real issues with it. But you can't let this be the line in the sand. You can't be like, you know what? I think we could have do this all safely if you guys just agree not to have sex. I'm like, okay, but come on, man. We're here for a month.
Text line says that.
We're all attractive and young. This is not a realistic thing you're asking us to do.
Yeah, they might want to still hand out the condoms. They still might want to do that.
Just hand out some masks for sex. Like, okay, just do something different.
Text line says it's maybe because SI is reporting that, because, of course, they've downplayed that. So, no, we're not trying to prevent them from having sex. So SI did some research. They're claiming, at least the Olympic Committee, that they just want to be environmentally friendly and recycling. Okay. So you want cheap cardboard boxes for beds?
And by the way, it's just too late. You realize that there are stadiums that not a single fan will sit in that has thousands of seats. It's a busy city. They're going to demolish most of what they built. They're just going to, like, bulldoze it when it's over. I think they had specifically said it, like, the BMX stadium, right? Like, oh, right. You get your Olympic gold medal, and then we're just going to bulldoze this entire thing. Like, it's just never going to exist again. So it's too late on the environmentally friendly
part.
Well,
we see the stories every year.
It's long gone.
Where a couple years down the road, there'll be the articles of the vacant building. I'll never forget. I think it was Sydney, Australia. The pools that like turned, you know, just were disgusting and weeds were growing through the pool. They spent millions of dollars on these facilities and then they all just are useless, which is why the U.S. has bid for Olympics and stuff. We already have so many of these stadiums that we're utilizing. It's not as big of a problem for the, you know, for North American.
Now we still got to build like
some things. I bet you they're not sleeping on cardboard beds. That's just crazy.
Why wouldn't you
What's
just
What's the
build
worst
them
bed you guys ever slept on? Like, or because I slept
on.
I'm
gonna ask something else.
Air mattress in Miami. Oh, was wow. When was the last time you had sex not in a bed?
On a card. When's the last time you had sex on cardboard? Have you ever had sex on cardboard?
I don't think
so. You know,
so.
Long day of moving. You know, you're like, there's some cardboard boxes around here.
Sex this'll after do. Moving. That's the worst. That day's already shot. Yeah, you could have asked a lot of different questions there. That could have gone a number of ways. I'm not going to answer any of these. No, it's not going to stop anything. They should just lean into it. Maybe provide the beds for foster homes. Like, I don't...
Although, like, after someone... After these Olympic athletes slept on these cardboard beds, I don't think you want anybody... You don't want to
reuse... Not those.
Reuse.
I would admit the other beds.
Okay.
You can burn the sheets. It's just... I mean, you know, like, whatever, but...
Have you guys ever watched Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah.
Maybe they could bring those sorts of sheets they use.
Oh, God. That's such a weird show. See, now it's just getting bleak. Now it's just turning into a whole other bleak vibe that they should not force them on.
One of the stories that always comes out around the Olympics is stuff like this. This is actually one of the enjoyable things about the Olympics, besides the competition that's going to take place, we assume is going to take place with, again, zero fans in Tokyo. That's the trash of the day. Coming up next, the Whit Merrifield Show. We'll ask Whit, what is it like every July, it seems like, trade deadline, his name comes up for trades. We'll ask him how he handles that. That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.